Good morning. Oh, that was really, what was that? Boisterous? That was good. Boisterous. Well, it is a cloudy and a little bit rainy, but a beautiful day and a good day to get together and worship God. So we praise God for that. And if we have any guests here today, we're very glad to have you with us here at First Mennonite Church. We are continuing our series on the Ten Commandments, and it's called God's Top Ten List, or the Ten Words. And I should have mentioned last week, thank you to Kathy and Nancy for putting up our tablets, the Ten Commandments. That's a very creative use of our tables. I like that. That's resourcefulness right there. Doesn't it look like tablets? Yeah, that's good. I notice Commandment 9 keeps falling off, though. I don't know if there's a message in that or not. Number 7, yeah, I saw number 7 was kind of... Yeah, yeah. But we've got them all up there now, and I think that's the way it's supposed to be. All right, so that's our worship series, and we're also going to be picking up on the same theme in the Sunday school class, a Sunday school for all ages. And that's starting on the 10th of September, and I think Donna, who is chair of our Christian Ed Commission, is going to tell us about that.
It's also, as Randy said, on the topic of the first of 10 commandments. We're going to be doing one commandment every Sunday for 10 Sundays, beginning on September 10, ending November, I think it is 12. We're all going to be meeting together. We're going to have donuts and something to drink downstairs at 9:30. So those of you that haven't been attending Sunday school might want to rethink that decision and start coming, because we've got stuff for the adults and stuff for the kids and activities that we're going to do all together to start with, and I think it's going to be interesting and fun. The food will be available by 9:30, and you'll have a chance to just fellowship around tables till about 9:45, and that's when we'll begin some of the activities. So please consider coming, starting 2 weeks from today, the week after Labor Day.
What kind of donuts?
Do we need to take requests? I don't know.
That could be a deciding factor. No. All right. Okay. This week, I have nothing, no meetings down this week. And I'm looking forward to spending some time with our grandson, who my wife just reported. Video this morning, you got it? He's walking. Oh my goodness. We're going to have a fun time. And next Sunday, Pam Schrag is preaching for Labor Day weekend. Connie, do you have anything else you want to add to that? All right, Pam Schrag is preaching next Sunday. Okay, other announcements today.
Hopefully next week in the bulletin there will be, it'll be in there. But we're going to make Veronica on September 30th. So please, please, please mark your calendars. Also this year, we're going to do only one peppernut day. And so if you want to start making peppernut dough now, I will happily freeze that for you so we can have, so you don't have to make it all that week. So if you want to start making it, make it. And we're going to try to just do one day of peppernuts this year. So extra dough, please.
Due to some health issues that I've been having, I am requesting that if somebody would take care of the care portal for a while till I can get back on my feet, or if you know somebody that might be willing to do that, let me know. Thank you.
Anything else? Well, we've gathered this morning to worship God, so let us come into a time of worship as we stand and sing our call to worship. Jesus calls us here to meet him. And then remain standing for the spoken call to worship and the praise hymn.
Thank you.
reference from Psalm 119. Teach us, Lord, the way of your decrees, so that we may follow to the end. Direct us in the path of your commands, and there we will find delight.
Turn our hearts toward your statutes, and not to self-gain. Turn our eyes from worthless things, find life in your word.
How we long for your instruction, and renewal in your righteousness. We turn our ear to the Lord. We listen for your word, and live. Holy, holy, holy. Together. Our wonderful God, we have gathered here on this day that you have made. We receive it with gladness and we worship you. We come, God, because we need to. We need to be in your presence, to be healed, to be empowered to live like Jesus. We pray, God, that this time of worship might transform us, that our words, that our thoughts, that our actions might glorify you, and that our very lives might serve you. Through the forgiving power of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. With my soul.
is glorious. Yes, God, my sin not in part, but the whole is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. It is well with my soul.
Hear now the second word. God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of their parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. Hear the second word. Let us respond from Deuteronomy. The Lord will bring you into the land of promise, a promise to your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
A land filled with large flourishing cities that we did not build, houses filled with plenty that we did not buy, wells that we did not dig, vineyards and olive groves that we did not plant.
When you eat and are satisfied, be careful to remember the Lord, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of oppression. And the living word from our Lord in the Gospel of Matthew.
Okay, and this is the 16th chapter of Matthew, verses 13 to 20. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say that John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others still Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." But what about you, he asked. What do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah.
Today is for local ministries. May our offering be for us an act of worship and a sign of lives devoted to the Lord. The earth belongs to God and all that is in it. God, we worship you, the Creator. We return to you what is already yours. This is our worship. This is our devotion to you. Our prayer, God, is that your kingdom may come and that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. As we go to God in prayer today, we are certainly mindful of the people along the Texas Gulf Coast who are dealing with an abundance of water, and pray that through this experience we might practice community and being our brother and our sister's keeper. And I think it's also good to continue to keep our nation in prayer, as seems like a lot of the words that we use are designed to push us away from one another and create division, and we want to keep unity in prayer. Other things to remember in prayer today. Robin.
On that unhappy note about Texas, we have family and friends that are in Texas. They are in the Houston area. It's my aunt and uncle and my one cousin. She won't be able to get to work tomorrow. She already realizes that. He's got a stick out in the yard to see how the water coming up. It's up behind the car that's not in the garage. We also have friends that live in the Baytown area. They have water in their home right now. They are living on the second floor. Her husband can't get home. He works at a refinery. So she's there with her daughters. So it's very scary for them right now. Also, I ask for prayers for a friend that's in deep depression, that she find help or get help, and it helps her out. I saw her this past week and I didn't recognize her. I really, really felt bad that I didn't recognize her. I knew her well. And I'm hoping she can find some kind of relief and help. On a happy note, Friday, the quilters went to lunch. Well, some of us, not all of us, could go. There were other extenuating services. And we had our lunch. We had a wonderful time. It was a great lunch. And we kind of sat there and waited for the ticket and waited and waited and waited and waited and waited and waited. We talked. We had lots of things to talk about. And I finally said out loud, I said, well, I guess we'll just have to go up there and tell her what we had so she can ring it up. Well, she heard me, and boy, here she comes running around the counter, and she says, I have good news and bad news. I go, okay. Well, the good news is your lunches are all paid for. So we didn't pay for our lunch. There was somebody there that paid for our lunch. We don't know who it was. She said, he can do this, don't worry about that, but please remember him in prayer. He needs lots of prayer. But she said, the bad news is you could leave me a $100 tip. No, we left tip, but I don't think it made that quota for her. Play for the mystery donor, I guess. We were excited.
Well, I must say the last 10 days have been a real journey for both Bob and me. Our daughter Shannon presented us with a 9-pound, 4-ounce baby boy, Xander James, and he was 22 inches long. However, she had to have a C-section, and that was okay, except Xander had breathing problems when he was born. So he was immediately put into a special care nursery, had the smallest little CPAP machine on his nose, and many other attachments to him. And as Shannon and I were both in the room when she had her C-section, and he was not crying like we hoped, and they were standing around him, and all she and I could do was pray because we were very concerned. Fortunately, he came out of it. He was in the nursery 24 hours, and he is pretty healthy and pretty bouncy. Anyway, that was a real joy, and yet we had lots of prayers. However, Wednesday, Shannon, it wasn't just Wednesday, she came home Sunday, and between Sunday and Wednesday, she developed an infection in the incision, and she had to be back into the hospital for 24 hours with, I think she said, 9 bags of antibiotics. So Grandma and Xander got to spend the night together, and Grandma's not done that in years. So it was wonderful. He was really good. But in the meantime, Grandpa was dealing with a sale that was not going so well with the clients, and he and LaVon had to take over all the pricing because I was not able to be there. I had to help Shannon. And yeah, it was quite the week. So we had lots of prayers for us, and everybody is doing well now. So we are grateful for that, and God has been good.
When I was practicing for scripture today, in my Bible, there's a sentence that really applies. It was written by Ruth Bell Graham, so it's not a Bible verse, but it says, "In raising children, all you can do is your best. We take care of the possible and leave the impossible to God." And that's where Cheryl and her grandson, or her son Benjamin, are right now. Everything looks impossible, and somehow I just have to leave it to God.
I'd like to ask for prayers for my neighbor Renee. Last Sunday, her younger brother was found dead in Nashville at his business. It was very unexpected, and she and her children are in Nashville right now. So I'd like to ask for prayers for them.
I would like to thank Marie for that wonderful music, worship music this morning. It really spoke to me. Thank you.
I have a joy. I think all of us that are related to John Gehring are excited that he's the new Bethel College president. And so he is some of our nephew. And so we're all pretty excited and think he'll be a good president.
Other things? Okay, but we have to get this side too, don't we?
Just to clarify, Bob and I were not working at the sale. That was your sister, LaVon, right? Just an update on Nate, our son-in-law, who was hit by a van in Newton about 10 or 11 days ago. He was transported to a rehab hospital, which is certainly good news. And as we reflect on his injuries, how thankful he is and we are that it could not have been worse. Through chattering teeth of pain, he said twice, by God's grace, it was bad enough. But anyway, thank you for your prayers and the cards that were sent to her. She wanted me to thank you for that. He is still dealing with a great deal of pain, but in the other issue, reality to emotionally is setting in now. What does the future hold? He's been dealing with pain, but the future. So if you want to say a prayer for him to give him some peace and patience and courage about the future. Thank you.
Thanks for the update. Appreciate that.
It seems a little strange to pray for rain when people's homes are being flooded and washed away. Very thankful for the shower that we have this morning. In our area, crops are really fading, and this rain will be a real boost. The other thing is met with my oncologist on Friday, and my cell count numbers are going in the right direction, and he was happy, and I am happy, and grateful for good progress.
It's interesting that we're talking about rain today, both too much rain and too little rain, and our scripture today is about rain. So I'm not sure how that happened, but that's kind of interesting to me. Other things to remember in prayer? Let's go to God in prayer. God, you're the creator of all things. You are the creator of a world filled with amazing variety and amazing diversity. And that is even true for us as human beings, that you have created us as part of your creation in diversity as well. And as children, God, we learn to sing, red, brown, yellow, black, and white, we are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. And we learn that, and then we struggle to live that. We thank you, God, for Jesus, who did not know social boundaries and did not know them in a good way, who did not build walls, but in his life and on the cross he broke down barriers, and that in that is the way of our salvation. Somehow it seems there's a lesson there for us. We pray, God, for our nation, where so many of our words today seem to be about dividing, about forcing people apart, about mistrust. And we remember, God, that we have been given the gospel of reconciliation, that as Christ reconciled us on the cross, so too we have been given that ministry. So in this world in which we live, it's such an important message, and we pray that we might be faithful in that message. We're mindful, God, of the people in the Texas Gulf Coast area right now who are dealing with too much rain. And we pray, God, that this might be a time of people coming together to look after one another, to help one another, to be there for each other, and that in this occasion, community might be found. So we pray, God, for them as they deal with a difficult situation and begin to put their lives back together. We have people who are close to us that are on our minds today. So many who are dealing with health issues. We're so thankful, God, for the birth of a baby, and through a roller coaster ride, the healing and the health that has come out of that. We are mindful, God, of Robin's friend who is dealing with depression, and pray healing and strengthening there. And we are mindful of the person, the mystery donor, who we don't know who that person is or what the need is, but who needs prayer. So you know the need, God, and we hold them up to you. We are mindful of Nate and Lisa. Thankful, God, for the amazing work that you've done in Nate's body and helping him to bring things back. And yet the long road and the difficult work and the patience required, we hold them up to you and encourage them and pray that they might feel the love and surrounding of your spirit and our love with them. We are mindful of Connie's neighbor, Renee, who is dealing with grief. We're mindful, God, of farmers who are looking for rain. We're mindful, God, of the people around us, that we might care and be the presence of Jesus in this world around us and in the world beyond us, that Christ might be seen through his church. Through Christ we pray. Amen. Children can come forward, and we have the change offering. And I think Sharon has the children's feature. And Kathy, are you helping with, where's Kathy? Are you helping with, okay. Mm-hmm. Real good.
Before Sharon starts her story, we're just going to review those Ten Commandments today, okay? So number one says, put God first. So we need one finger up because there's only one God, right? Then we're going to put our other pointer up. And we're going to say, worship him only. We don't want to bow down to any other gods. God is the only one God. Then three. Who knows? Remember what letter this looks like? W for words that come out of our mouth. No bad words. We don't want to take God's name in vain. We want to use good words. What comes after three?
Four.
We're going to put two and two that make four. And we're going to make a roof for the church. And we're going to keep the Sabbath holy. God said you can work 6 days, but you should rest one day on Sunday. Then we're going to do five. Obey your parents. Do you remember our story about obey your parents? Obey your parents, or you might get a swat. Or obey your parents, and you will get a high five, right? Thank you. Okay. Six, put your thumb up with that other hand, and we're going to not harm no one. We don't want to do that, do we? Okay. Number seven, here's the mom and dad. Here's all the children. Respect marriage. If mom and dad respect marriage and take care of each other, we'll have a happy family. Number eight, remember how we did that? Four and four. Hide your thumbs. Do not steal. Your thumbs are missing, so that reminds you, do not steal. Okay. Then we're going to keep one of those thumbs down, and we're going to put it down here, and we're going to raise our other hand for five, because five and four is nine, and we're going to promise to tell the truth, right? Okay. Number 10, all 10 fingers. Do you remember what's that word? Don't covet. That means don't be greedy and want everything everybody else has. Be thankful for what you have and count your blessings. Do not covet. Okay?
All right. Well, you know, the first two commandments were put God first and worship him only. And that's one reason why we're here today. And if we worship God only and we put him first, he can put a light in each one of us. Now, did we have something that had to do with light this week? Do you remember what happened on Monday? Did any of you see something different with the sun? We had the solar eclipse. Did any of you get to go out and look at it? You know, I think the only person who can, or to make something that awesome is God. And God put a light in each one of us, just like he did something with the sun. Well, let's see what kind of light God has put into us. God's light in me is bright and true. I see it with his love shines when his love shines through. He shows me how to do what's right. He lights my way with his great light. God's light is dazzling like the sun, even when the day is done. That sun was pretty dazzling, wasn't it? God sends his light so I will know the best way for my feet to go. God has lots of light to share and plenty of his love to spare. So we have all got his love in us, don't we? God's light helps me grow each day. I thank him for it when I pray. God's light will shine perfect and save. It makes me feel so strong and brave. When I'm afraid and feeling blue, God's light is there to help me through. God's word is right. It's true and good. It helps me do the things I should. My life is filled with light and joy. the blessings nothing can destroy. God is with me day and night. I'm safe and warm in His great light. From head to toe, I'm joy and light. I'm very special in God's sight. God showers me in light and love. He sends it from His throne above. I love how God's light shines on me. I live in it so happily. God's light will shine on me each day and never, ever go away. I want to spread God's light around and show the world the love I've found. And we can do all of that when we follow God's rules too. So the first one we want to remember is we put God first and we are worshiping Him only, and then His love and light will shine through each one of us. Thank you. Go and have a wonderful week.
1 Kings 18, verses 21 to 38. Elijah went up before the people and said, "How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow Him. If Baal is God, follow him." But the people said nothing. Then Elijah said to them, "I am the only one of God's prophets left, but Baal has 450 prophets. Get two bulls for us. Let Baal's prophets choose one for themselves and let them cut it into pieces and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. I will prepare the other bull and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. Then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord. The God who answers by fire, He is God." Then all the people said, "What you say is good." Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, "Choose one of the bulls and prepare it first, since there are so many of you. Call on the name of your Lord, but do not light the fire." So they took the bowl given them and prepared it. Then they called on the name of Baal from morning till noon. "Baal, answer us," they shouted. But there was no response. No one answered. And they danced around the altar they had made. At noon, Elijah began to taunt them. "Shout louder," he said. "Surely he's a god. Perhaps he's deep in thought, or busy, or traveling. Maybe he's sleeping and must be awakened." So they shouted louder and slashed themselves with swords and spears, as was their custom, until their blood flowed. Midday passed, and they continued their frantic prophesying until the time for the evening sacrifice. But there was no response, no one answered, no one paid attention. Then Elijah said to all the people, "Come here to me." They came to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord, which had been torn down. Elijah took 12 stones, one for each of the tribes descended from Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, "Your name shall be Israel." With the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he dug a trench around it, enough to hold 2 sheaves of seed. He arranged the wood, cut the bull in 2 pieces, and laid it on the wood. Then he said to them, "Fill 4 large jars with water and pour it on the offering and on the wood." "Do it again," he said, and they did it again. "Do it a third time," he ordered, and they did it the third time. The water ran down around the altar and even filled the trench. At the time of the sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, "Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, Lord, answer me, so these people will know that you, Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, "The Lord, He is God! The Lord, He is God!"
October 8, 1984, Louisville, Kentucky. President Ronald Reagan steps onto the podium to face Walter Mondale in their first presidential debate. Only something's wrong. 73-year-old president looks old and tired, uncomfortable. He's unsure of his answers and he stumbles over his words. That night, Walter Mondale walks all over Ronald Reagan. The days leading up to that debate, Reagan had been extensively coached, briefings at length, from thick binders of notes and facts and policy details, all to cram for this debate. And Reagan's supporters were incredulous and outraged. Whose bright idea was this, that this is how you prepare Ronald Reagan for a debate? Let Reagan be Reagan, folksy, charming, at ease, unguarded and at the same time confident, a storyteller, sometimes casual with the facts, but that's okay. This was a president who had jelly beans on his desk, jelly bellies. Let Reagan be Reagan. So for the second debate, Roger Ailes took over as the coach, and he threw out the binders, threw out the long briefings. Reagan was freed up to be Reagan, and Reagan soundly trounced Walter Mondale in the second debate and in November. Let God be God. The second word, the second commandment, might be paraphrased this way: let God be God. Last Sunday, we began this series, God's Top 10 List, and we began first with the context, right? I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. God acted first on our behalf, out of love for us. God loves us. And now the covenant that follows, those 10 commandments, are not just, it's not a list of rules. It is our way to say back, I love you too. These are the things that we do for love. And the first one of those things that we do, have no other gods before me. It is a marriage of monogamy. It is fidelity. All the other competing gods in this world, and there are plenty of them, the Lord our God is the number one only, number one in our lives. So it is a question of who in this first commandment. Who's on first? Today, the second word. Do not make for yourselves any images, any idols. It's a question of how. How will we love God? Let God be God. Now, can we do that? The story here at Mount Carmel, 1 Kings 18, really teaches us this commandment so well. Elijah calls out the prophets of Baal. The Hebrew would say it more like Baal. Elijah alone against 450 of them. Baal was a Palestinian god, the god of the rain, the god of the storms, the god over the crops, the god of agriculture, the god of harvest. And Baalism was taking over Palestine, and it was also taking over Israel, especially in this time of drought that they were in. Maybe we can get Baal to start the rains again. And Baal was represented by an image, actually multiple images. And in this classic public showdown, kind of like Gary Cooper in High Noon, Elijah, the lone prophet of Yahweh, calls out the prophets of Baal, 450 of them, who also, by the way, had the backing of the king and queen of Israel, Ahab and Jezebel. There's a sermon in that too, but that's another time. We will each prepare an altar of sacrifice. And you will call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the one who answers with fire for the sacrifice, that one is God. Okay? Sounds fair enough? The prophets of Baal go first. And the story starts out funny and then just gets pathetic. They start dancing around and shouting, O Baal, answer us! O Baal, answer us! And they do that all morning long. Nothing. So Elijah then figures that maybe he'd give them a little help. And so he makes some suggestion for them. He says, you know, I think you should shout a little louder. He's probably deep in thought. Or maybe he's sleeping in. Or Elijah even suggests maybe he's using the bathroom. Our translation was much more subtle than that. Well, so what do? Good idea. And they start shouting louder. And they start dancing again and cutting themselves until their blood flowed. Now that ought to get Baal's attention, don't you think? But nothing. Dead air. No response. They did everything they could do to get Baal to do what they wanted him to do. Now, did you hear that? They did everything they could do to get Baal to do what they wanted him to do. And now it's Elijah's turn. And Elijah does everything he can do to prevent God from doing what he had proposed. So he drenches the altar with water. One time, two times, three times. Now there is no way that God can light a fire. Elijah has made sure that God's hands are tied. And then Elijah offers a simple prayer. No shouting, no demands. Let it be known today that you are God. And I am your servant. And I do what you command. Let God be God. Whoosh! Fire from heaven, consuming the sacrifice, the water, and all. Let God be God. God's holiness, God's sovereignty, God's mystery, God's absoluteness over us and beyond us. God, our creator, we the created, the one who created us in his image. So what is the purpose of the graven image of an idol? An idol is our attempt to deny God that claim. The purpose of an image of an idol is to put God in our hands, our manipulation, our management. That's what the prophets of Baal were trying to do. And the second word says, do not make for yourself any graven image, any idol. So once again, what is an idol? What makes them so bad? Yesterday, I went to the Mustang Grand National Show in Kansas City. Had to do a little research for this. Now, I've been a lifelong Mustang fan. When I got my driver's license just a few years ago, Dad figured it was time for the family to get another car. So he and I went out looking at used cars. One of the cars we looked at and drove was a 1965 Mustang with a stick shift. Sweet. You know, I could drive that car. So that day, we bought a 1965 Plymouth Fury four-door sedan. With a 225 slant six. I mean, what can I say? It was a good car. In high school, two of my best buddies drove Mustangs, their own. I drove the family Plymouth Fury. It was a good car. Years later, after Ann and I were engaged and I moved to Kansas, she was returning to Goshen College to finish her degree. I stayed in Kansas and I told her, now when you come back to Kansas, I'm going to be driving a Mustang. And I meant it too. Well, she got her degree. I didn't get a Mustang. Years later, in 2004, when Ford reintroduced the classic retro styling and the 40th anniversary Mustang, I was hooked again. And I determined again, I announced as determined as I could, I'm getting a Mustang. And I meant it too. I wasn't kidding. But I didn't. 10 years later, the 50th anniversary of the Mustang came out, Dad and I went to test drive one. It was one of the last things that he and I did together, some 45 years after we first drove a Mustang together. And I said to my dad, I'm going to get a Mustang. So is this lifelong obsession of mine with a material thing, is that making an idol for myself? Is that what this second commandment is talking about here? Make for yourself no graven images. I don't think it is. If there's sin in this lifelong Mustang lust, it would be more a sin of the first commandment, who is your God? Or maybe the 10th commandment about coveting. But the second commandment really takes us in a different direction. How is God your God? Will you let God be God? You know, sometimes God can be such a disappointment. God just isn't doing what you want God to do. Sometimes we can become so angry with God. Why won't God behave the way I am sure God should behave? Sometimes we just want to give up on God. What's the use? God isn't listening to what I'm telling him to do anyway. Sometimes God doesn't make sense. You know the right answer. You know the way it should be. Why is it taking God so long to figure this out? You see, that's the beauty of making an idol. You get to be in charge. We get to create God in our own image. And then project onto this idol our expectations. For the ancients, making an idol, making an image, was their attempt to capture the gods and to rein them in and to manipulate them and to make them manageable and to manipulate and influence the powers. That's what the prophets of Baal were doing, or at least trying to do, on Mount Carmel. Answer us, O Baal. Answer us, they demanded. How'd that work out for them? It's not only ineffective, it's perverse. It's perverse to the Holy One of Israel, the Creator of the universe, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery, who said, "Be still and know that I am God." Psalm 46:10. So maybe we're no longer chiseling images out in our garage, but the truth is, we still don't care much for the arrangement. Let God be God. We still need that second commandment today. Remember the story of Job. Job was a good guy. Job loved God. Job was a good friend, a neighbor, a family man, and Job lost it all, tragically. And Job wanted God to give account. Why did you let this happen? I didn't deserve this. Is it too much to expect you to answer me? And God gives Job an answer. Who are you to question my wisdom with ignorant, empty words? Ouch. I will question you, and you will answer me. Where were you when I created the world? If you know so much, tell me about it. Can you tie the Pleiades together or loosen the bonds that hold Orion? Can you guide the stars season by season? If you command the lightning to flash, does it respond to you with at your service? Does a hawk learn to fly from you? Does an eagle wait for your word to build its nest? And on go God's questioning for four chapters in Job. And then God brings it home. Will the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? You answer me. Let God be God. And too often we really don't care for that arrangement. We want answers. We want explanations. We want our say-so. We expect a response and we expect results. My health is failing. Fix it. I lost my job. Explain it. Wouldn't it be nice to have God created in our own image? The second commandment says, You shall not make for yourself an image. God has created us. We are God's image. Can you live with that arrangement? The second commandment asks, will you let God be God? Because God is sovereign, God is holy, and God is trustworthy, and God is good. You can trust God. Release your need for control. Release your need to be in charge. Let go. Let God be God. As the hymn says, it is well with my soul. So we live our lives in the hands of God, the hands of love that extend for 1,000 generations. And you know, think about that. Since these words were written, we haven't come anywhere close to passing 1,000 generations. Would you place your life in any other hands, even your own? Do not fashion a God to your own liking, your own image, an idol. Live your life letting God be God. Amen. God, we give our lives to you because they aren't really our lives. You formed us. You breathed life into us. We are yours. We are created in your image, not the other way around. Today, we will live out the second commandment. In response to love, we will let God be God. And we'll be just fine with that. Through Christ we pray. Amen. He comes to us as one unknown. Number 498, and we will stand as we sing. Holy, and God is loving and trustworthy. a good way to live? Let God be God. Now go forth among others and live that way. Amen.